الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما الله فقد برأك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Yesterday we had mentioned that during the Ghazwa of Banu al-Mustaliq, on the return from the Ghazwa of Banu al-Mustaliq, the incident of Ifk had taken place. The detailed incident, initially we were not supposed to discuss it. However, since this is a very important incident and it had taken place on the return from this journey, and the beginning of the incident was part of this journey, therefore we will discuss the summary of this incident and especially those parts which are linked to the journey. It was the noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he would go on a journey, he would draw lots between his azwaj mutahharat. So normally Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would distribute the nights between his azwaj mutahharat. However, when going on journey, then it is not an obligation on the husband to share his time equally between his wives. Rather, he may choose and take any wife of his that he wishes to take on the journey. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in upholding the highest forms of justice and in order to take care of the feelings of his azwaj mutahharat, even when going on a journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would draw lots between his azwaj mutahharat. And whoever's name came out, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take that wife along with him on that journey. So when leaving for the ghazwa of Banu al-Mustaliq or the ghazwa of Muraisi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew lots, and the name of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had come out, and Umm Salama radiallahu anha also accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this journey. On the return, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum were camped at a certain spot, then towards the latter part of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that the caravan was going to depart. So whoever needed to finish whatever work they had to pack up, to go and relieve themselves, they would be able to do that, and then they would be ready to leave. So Aisha radiallahu anha, in preparation for departure, she goes at a distance from the caravan to answer the call of nature. When she returns and she comes close to the caravan, she realizes that her necklace had fallen off. And this necklace had belonged to her sister Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha. So Aisha radiallahu anha went back to look for her necklace. Whilst looking for her necklace, it took her some time. In the meanwhile, there were certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were appointed to carry the carriage of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and place it onto the camel. So Aisha radiallahu anha used to travel in a carriage. The carriage would be completely concealed from all sides, and the woman would sit in the carriage, which was known as a hodaj. So she would sit in this, and then there were these sahaba that were in charge of carrying the carriage and placing it on the camel. So they came, they see the carriage there, thinking that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha is already in the carriage. They carry the carriage and they place it on the conveyance. Now the question may come about that they could have made out from the weight of the carriage that no one was inside. So Aisha radiallahu anha answers this and she says that I was very young at that time. She was only 15 years of age, and she says that my weight also wasn't a lot. We hardly had any food. We would eat bare minimum food, basic food we would eat. So I was light and I was young at that time, and four sahaba carrying the four corners of the each sahabi carrying the four of each corner of that carriage. When they would carry it, they would not make out that Aisha radiallahu anha was not inside. And here we understand also that there was no communication. They were not communicating with her. Otherwise, if there would be communication, then they would know that she's not there. Nevertheless, they carry the carriage and they place it now on the camel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha is in the carriage is on the camel, the caravan departs. Now when Aisha radiallahu anha returns, she realizes that the caravan is gone. So her intelligence, her understanding, she realizes that when they stop at the next spot, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look for her. And then he would realize that she was left behind at the previous stop. So at that same spot, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha sat down. She was tired. We explain also how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled a lot during this journey in order to avoid people getting involved in the whole discussion of the statement of Abdullah bin Ubay, etc. So Aisha radiallahu anha was very tired. When she came to that spot, she lay down and فَتَلَفَّفْتُ بِجِلْبَابِ. She said that I covered myself with my jilbab. She was all alone in the wilderness. But the level of haya and parda, and there are many aspects of parda of a woman which come out from this incident. So she says that I covered myself with my jilbab and I lay down and I fell off to sleep. There was a sahabi by the name of Safwan bin Mu'attal As-Sulami Al-Zakwani radiallahu an, whose responsibility was to travel at a distance behind the caravan. So when the caravan would depart, then he would come along after some time, and then he would see if there's any belongings of any person that's left. When a big caravan is moving, 1,000 people in the caravan, obviously something would be left behind. So he would pick it up and then he would meet up with the caravan and return it to the rightful owner. So this sahabi came and he sees فَرَآ سَوَادَ إِنسَانٍ naim. He sees the figure of a sleeping person. So he sees someone sleeping. Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَعَرَفَنِي حِينَ رَآنِي وَكَانَ قَدْ رَآنِي قَبْلَ الْحِجَابِ. That when he saw me, he recognized me. And he had seen me before hijab. So most probably, although she covered herself, while sleeping, her face must have got uncovered because of sleeping. And Safwan radiallahu anha comes there, he recognizes her. Aisha radiallahu anha says that he recognized me because he saw me before the laws of hijab. So this was the fifth year after hijrah. And hijab was only made an obligation in the third or fourth year after hijrah. So not very long ago, it was absolutely permissible for him to see her because there were no laws of hijab. So prior to hijab, he had seen her. When he saw her, now he recognized her. Now he sees Aisha radiallahu anha sleeping there. He needed to wake her up, and obviously now he needed to take her and join her up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in order to wake her up, Aisha radiallahu anha says that he recited Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un loudly. So he recited Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un loudly. The muhaddithin explain that the reason for him reciting Inna lillah, one is that this was now some type of difficulty. The respected wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got left behind. So because of that, he recited Inna lillah. But also another reason why he recited Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un is that he needed to wake her up. But he wanted to avoid any direct conversation. In order to wake up, he would have to address her. So in order to avoid a direct address and a direct conversation, he recited Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un loudly. This was the level of hijab. This was the level of parda and haya that a sahabi has for the azwaj mutahharat. Both of them's hearts are absolutely clean. His mother, this is the mother of the believers. Yet, even in a situation of need, as long as there is no need for a direct address, I won't even directly address her. Rather, I will recite Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And through that Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, she woke up. And then Aisha radiallahu anha goes on to emphasize this point. And she says, Wallahi ma takallamna bi kalimatin wala sami'tum minhu kalimatan ghayra istirja'i. She says that Allah's qasam, we did not speak a single word. We did not speak a single word neither did I hear anything from him besides this one phrase of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, where there is no need for any conversation. Although it was a situation of need, but when we don't need to talk anymore, then there was no conversation whatsoever. That one Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un did its job. Now when Aisha radiallahu anha wakes up, the narration of Sahih Bukhari, most of these details appear in Sahih Bukhari. She says, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِي بِجِلْبَابِ. Immediately I covered my face with my jilbab. She specifically says, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ. I covered my face. Sometimes we get people saying that it is not necessary for a woman to cover her face. Covering the face is an Indian custom. There was no Indian custom. Ya Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha is saying, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ. That immediately I covered my face, bijilbabi, with my jilbab. Now, Safwan radiallahu anhu comes, and he seats the camel down, he makes the camel sit down, and he turns his face away. Because Aisha radiallahu anhu is now going to mount onto the camel. So, I must not see her mounting on the camel. She turns her face, he turns his face away. Aisha radiallahu anhu mounts the camel, and then he leads the camel from the front, and like this, without talking at all, not a single word, they reach the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of midday. Because of the midday heat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had halted the army, so they reach at the time of midday. And then Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَهَلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ. Whoever was destined to be destroyed was destroyed. Meaning the munafiqeen, and specifically Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, as we mentioned that the Munafiqeen had joined on this expedition. And they caused a lot of problem. One was the entire incident that we discussed yesterday, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. And another incident of the problems that the Munafiqeen had caused during this journey was they, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, began to slander the respected and pure wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, of zina with Safwan radiallahu anha. So she says, فَهَلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ. Whoever was destined to be destroyed was destroyed. Meaning they started this rumor, and they started this fitna, and this accusation and slander against me. Aisha radiallahu anha says, we returned, we came back to Madinah Munawwara, coming back from this journey, it was a long journey. She says, I fell ill, and for 1 month in Madinah Munawwara I was sick. And for most of this period, she says, I did not even know that these rumors were making their rounds regarding me. She was so innocent that the whole Madinah was speaking about her. Or there was a story going around in Madinah Munawwara regarding her. But Aisha radiallahu anha says, I didn't even know about it. I was so innocent that I didn't even know about it. And today if someone doesn't know about something, and or especially a woman doesn't know about something, you see, she's so backward, she doesn't even know what's happening in the world. Yeah, not what's happening in the world, what is happening about her own self. She didn't even know about it. And she was living in Madinah Munawwara. Nevertheless, the incident goes on. It's a lengthy incident. We will just summarize it. After some time, when she fell a little better, she was going out to relieve herself at night. And then somehow she came to know of this incident and what was being spoken about her. Now she was recovering from her sickness. But when she heard about this, then Aisha radiallahu anha says that I got even more sick. And now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home, I asked him permission to go to my parents' home. The reason why I wanted to go to my parents' home is I wanted to find out more. She only got little information that this is what is being spoken about you. So she needed to know more about what was going on. So she asked permission to go to her parents' home. And now she goes to her parents' home and she asks her mother that, oh my mother, what is going on? Are people speaking such a thing regarding me? Her mother comforts her. And her mother tells her, Ya bunayyatu hawwini alayk. Oh my daughter, take it easy. Oh my daughter, keep calm. And then she goes on to say that whenever there is a woman of beauty and a woman who is very beloved to her husband, then it's normal that people will become envious of her. People will be jealous of her. And when people are jealous, then people will make stories. So this is a natural phenomena. It's nothing that you should be over concerned about. Shouldn't be over concerned about it. This is normal that people will be jealous of you because of the great perfection and qualities that Allah has blessed you with. Your husband Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loves you so much. So it's normal for people to make these kind of stories. This shows us the very important role that the parent needs to play when the child is going through some problem or challenge or crisis in their life. Even in the marriage, when the child is going through a crisis, then the parent plays a very important role. The parent needs to calm the situation down instead of aggravating the situation. Many a times, problems in marriages are caused or escalated because of external pressure, because of external influence and interference. Sometimes the husband and wife can sort out the issue with ease, but then there's external interference. Now the parent comes in, the parent gets involved. So there's some problem, a small problem happens. Now the wife phones her mother and tells her mother, you know what he told me this. So the mother can respond in one of two ways. The mother can either say, you know, it's normal, this happens once in a while, we have this kind of problems. It's Ramzan also, it's hot, maybe he had a bad day. So because of that, maybe he said something, inshallah by the evening he'll be okay, by night he'll be okay, tomorrow morning he'll be okay. That's one response. And that is a parent that is thinking for the child. She's not, the mother is not being cruel. She's thinking for the benefit of her child. And one is, a mother says, you know what, you can't tolerate this nonsense, pack up your bags, we're coming to pick you up. And that small problem now becomes a major problem. Why? Because the mother felt that I am compassionate to my child, I am being kind to my child, but actually she was thinking with her daughter. She was thinking with her, not thinking for her. Not thinking for her benefit. She was just going with her train of thought. And she now makes that small problem becomes a major problem. And thereafter to reconcile becomes a very difficult task. So nevertheless, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's mother, being a responsible mother and a responsible parent, she says to her, Hawwini alayk, that take it easy, keep calm, this is something which is normal. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, when I heard this, I was so affected. La yarqa'u li dam'un wa la aktahilu bi nawmin. I couldn't even get a wink of sleep. And my tears would not stop for a single moment. And like this, days pass. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came to the house of my parents. At that time, there was an Ansari woman that came to console me and comfort me, and she was sitting there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in. Ansari woman obviously moved away, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat next to me. Now, during this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the necessary investigations. This was the just nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very affected, the historians write that this incident was one of those incidents that caused the most amount of inconvenience and taklif to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hear these kind of rumors regarding his respected wife, and that too the one that was most beloved to him, it was very difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in charge. He was the judge, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to follow normal procedure. Normal procedure will be, when there is a case like this, then how will that case be handled? Not that it's my wife's case. It's a case that has come now to the state. What would be the normal procedure? The normal procedure would be that now there would be investigations that would go on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did different investigations. Asked from the domestic servant, from Barira radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even asked the co-wife of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, Zainab bintu Jahash radiallahu anha. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that Zainab was my competition. From all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was the next after me. She was my competitor. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her also, but asamaha Allahu bil wara, because of the high level of piety and fear of Allah that she had, Allah protected her from saying anything against me. Although this was an ideal moment for her to speak against me, so that she would move me further away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I would get closer, but because of the level of wara and taqwa that she had, Allah had protected her. She said, ahmi sam'i wa basari, that I save my ears and my eyes. I haven't heard anything bad about Aisha. I haven't seen anything bad about Aisha radiallahu anha. The importance of us not getting involved in gossip, not getting involved in things that we don't know about and making up stories, etc. Although sometimes it may be for our own benefit. So Aisha radiallahu anha says Allah had protected Zainab radiallahu anha. Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did investigations, other investigations also. There was also a discussion that happened in the masjid. And because of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, there was some tension also, some commotion that had happened because of him, and because of some people that were close to him, etc. Nevertheless, after all these investigations, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he sits by Aisha radiallahu anha and he says to Aisha radiallahu anha that, O Aisha, in kunti bari'a fasayubarri'ukillah. If you are innocent, then Allah will announce your innocence. Allah will prove you to be innocent. However, wa in kunti al-mamti bidhanbin fastaghfirillah wa tubi ilayh. As we said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed normal procedure. It was not that she is my wife, I will take her part. He says that if you are innocent, Allah will announce your innocence. But if you have committed a wrong, then the procedure is simple. Fastaghfirillah wa tubi ilayh. Then make istighfar, beg Allah's forgiveness, and make tawbah, make a resolution that you will not go back to the sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, because إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ ثُمَّ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. That when a servant confesses his wrong, and makes tawbah to Allah, Allah will accept his forgiveness, Allah will accept his tawbah. So make tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will absolve you. The incident is lengthy, we'll just come to the end of the incident. Aisha radiallahu anha says that I asked my mother to reply, I asked my father to reply. They said, what answer are we going to give? Finally she says, I plucked up the courage. Although I was so affected, I was so emotional, I plucked up the courage. And I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the only thing I can say is what the father of Yusuf alayhi salam said. She says, at that time I couldn't even remember the name of Yaqub alayhi salam. So I said, the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, what he said, فَصَبْرٌ jamil, that patience is the best thing, the most beautiful thing to do is to be patient. And she says, within a short while, I saw the effects of wahi now on the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 16 ayat in defense of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, announcing the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. But look at Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, لَشَأْنِي فِي نَفْسِي كَانَ أَحْقَرَ مِنْ أَيْ يَتَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ فِيَّ بِوَحْيٍ يُتْلَى أَوْ كَمَا قَالَتْ. She says that I never thought that I was so important that Allah will send down wahi in my support. I thought, Rasul, I knew I was innocent. I knew Allah will absolve me and Allah will reveal my innocence. But I thought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will see a dream. And in this dream, he will see my innocence. I never thought that Allah will send down 16 ayat of Quran proving my innocence. These ayat of Quran also are very amazing ayat of Quran, where Allah firstly absolves Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, announces her innocence, so that right till Qiyamah, her innocence will be inscribed in the Quran Majeed. Therefore, the ulama mentioned, if someone has to accuse Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, na'udhu billah of zina, this person will come out of the fold of Islam, because he is going against categorical and clear-cut ayat of the Quran Majeed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explain in detail how these kind of rumors should be handled, and the manner of dissemination of information, how investigation needs to be made before these kind of rumors need to be passed, and the harms of spreading information, unverified information. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these ayat of the Quran Majeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the great sacrifice that they had to go through for the sake of deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to imbibe these great lessons in our life. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.